This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to Nightmare on Film Street. The current time is 6:66. Traffic is clear ahead from here to the afterlife, but it's hell outside. For the next hour, you're on Nightmare Time. So, let's give a grave welcome to our hosts, John and Kim.
Hello again, fiends, and welcome back to Nightmare on Film Street and part two of our kooky Stephen King double feature. I'm John.
I'm Kim.
And we are continuing our discussion today with a truly...
I have a bone to pick with you.
...kooky Stephen King story. Why is that, Kim? What's the bone?
Have you,
I know I do. What?
Have you perused the internet since we watched that film?
What about it? What does the internet have to say? Internet, new appreciation? 2024, back on board with the lawnmower?
This is actually a kooky blank film.
A movie so kooky that even Stephen King wanted his name removed from it.
Oh boy. Yeah. And he won in a court of law.
He had several lawsuits against New Line Cinema, who was essentially just doing, frankly, the same thing most people do with a lot of Stephen King stories. They just want his name on the title. But there are plenty of Stephen King stories that are wildly different, sometimes for the better. What's your favorite Stephen King adaptation, Kim?
Christine.
I think that one's a little different. I was really banking on you saying this is The Shining, which is wildly different than the novel, and is one of the best adaptations ever made.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, sometimes the deviations
and Carrie.
Are worth
Oh, wait,
it.
And Carrie.
Okay, Carrie. Also a little different?
No, it's not.
I'm pretty sure it's mostly the same. Okay, but here is the best part about The Lawnmower Man. It's kooky. It makes zero sense. It is the pinnacle of computer-generated technology.
We never improved from 1992. That was peak.
Right? Not even in the same year when we got Terminator 2, Judgment
Day. Terminator 2 came out the same year as this?
Oh, no, sorry. Terminator 2 came out the year before.
Oh my god.
A movie that today, like, you could watch that movie on VHS today and you're like, wow, these special effects actually kind of hold up.
Wow.
They didn't have any money left in the bank. James Cameron took all of it. So even New Line Cinema couldn't buy better special effects if they wanted to.
Oh boy.
Yeah, this movie's so kooky that you can't even blame the filmmakers, honestly. Have you ever read the short story that The Lawnmower Man is based on?
Well, like, I quickly read the synopsis before we started recording because I was like,
that's enough.
What is this short story? Like, how, after having seen the movie, the 2.5 hour, the 4 hour movie that and, is Lawnmower Man, I was
yes.
like, how the fuck is this a short story? Uh-huh. And, like, surely it's about none of this. It's about a simple lawnmower man who maybe murders a couple people.
Yeah, close.
And it's kind of that.
It's not.
It also has some gods in it.
It's not a great short story. I remember, like, because I had seen The Lawnmower Man, the movie, as a kid, and I had started reading Stephen King, like, preteen times. I was like, ooh, I want to see what this Lawnmower Man story is. And I was like, what the fuck?
I mean, to be fair, it was written and published in 1975. I doubt the technology at the time.
Well, it's just, okay, for anybody who's unaware, The Lawnmower Man is about a guy who needs a new lawnmower man, and he hires this dude, and he's so alarmed and terrified when he sees that the lawnmower is pushing itself, and the actual lawnmower man is naked behind the lawnmower, eating the mulched grass.
Because he's like a satyr or something, right?
Sure.
And then there's, like, his boss is, like, the god Pan, who is, like, the god of mischief or...
Yeah, like...
Which, you know what? I can understand seeing that and now seeing the film, the technology is god.
You can honestly...
I can see the threads. I see them.
It was a story so
strange. They're fishing line, but I see them.
That they figured we could do anything with this and get away with it. And in some ways, they did. And in other ways, including in a court of law,
they did not.
Okay, so we're dunking on the movie already. It's very kooky. I'm not going to say it's bad. It's kooky. What are three good things about Lawnmower Man?
I'm going to go with... the first one being there's a lot of eye candy in this movie.
A lot of eye candy.
Like, if you want to see a lot of shirtless men, shirtless scientists, everybody is just without a shirt in this movie.
And they're not like
sometimes
Marvel
they're mowing
superhero
lawns.
No. Shirtless men.
Well, Pierce Brosnan's like in a real hairy phase.
Uh-huh. This is pre-GoldenEye, pre-James Bond.
And he's got an earring, which I'm not about, but...
And Kim is
and
surprised...
he smokes a lot.
Yeah. Kim has a surprising thing for Jeff Fahey, I've learned. It's not that you're like, ooh, Dreamboat, but we've watched a bunch of Jeff
Fahey
movies.
What else is he in?
Body Parts would be the biggest one.
Don't say that I liked him in that movie, because he's fucking crazy in that movie.
He's crazy in every movie. Do you know he was a ballet dancer?
Wow! Okay, I'm back on board.
He has had a life.
they hide him in these, like, schlubby, like, Chucky overalls, and then once he starts getting smart, he combs his hair and he takes his top off, and you're just like, whoa!
Okay, so and good thing number one is eye candy.
I'm trying here, John.
You're good thing number two. Why can't some of the kookiest special effects you've ever
seen. Sorry, what?
Really trying hard not to say bad or clunky. They're kooky. Okay, fine. Good thing number two. Chimpanzee using a security card to break out of a scientific research lab. He like swipes that card so much.
There was so much monkey POV. The entire opening credits, we are following a monkey who's breaking out of a science facility.
And good for him.
But everything is so close up because they clearly did not have a convincing monkey puppet. We are so close to the key card being swiped. We are on top of the monkey's helmet.
Yeah.
We're to deduce ourselves what is happening. The monkey escaped. He's running through the halls. We don't see any of him.
And good thing number three, I guess I'm going to double down on it. I'm just going to say it again. It's 1992 special effects, like the pinnacle of... I don't even know if they had 8-bit. They may have only had 4-bit computer-generated
images.
And
they go so hard. There are multiple scenes where the entire scene, and I'm not even going to call it CGI. I'm just going to call it
art.
Rendered images. and we are there, and they are just going for it. And so much so, and I guess they were so confident in the technology at the time that one of John's favorites, we got a full body burn in this movie.
I was...
but it was all rendered imagery.
It's been thrown in my face. Yeah, the full 8-bit full body burn. I feel a way about it.
Was it everything you dreamed?
Yeah. It rendered an emotion out of me, for sure. All right, well, those are three good things about the Lawnmower Man. There's got to be at least one more. And we're going to spend the next 40 minutes trying to find it.
From the imagination comes the story of a man.
Joe, come on, boy, let's go. Grass is waiting for you.
With the mind of a child.
Yeah, Cyboman, he came to see me.
Cyboman, comics, right?
Yeah, Cyboman.
And a doctor.
Virtual reality holds a key to the evolution of the human mind.
With a vision of the future.
I have a game in my house that you might like to play. Would you like that?
Yeah. Okay.
Really bad.
I have different games. I even have one that could help make you smarter.
Now, Job Smith is about to enter the world of virtual reality.
Ah, it's gonna hit
me! No, Job, just relax.
It's gonna be like being up there with the stars, Job. Like going to another planet.
His mind is like a clean, hungry sponge.
I just graduated to the next level, Job.
You're not the Lawnmower Man.
Well, you've certainly changed. I don't know how you did it, but I approve.
Absorb Latin yesterday in less than 2 hours.
Joe, where are you?
A world where the normal course of events can suddenly turn inside out.
You realize, Dr. Angelo, that my intelligence has surpassed yours.
The imaginary becomes real.
Trying to get inside my head, Joe.
You can't hide anything from me, Dr. Angelo.
And reality.
We have no idea what he's going to do.
Is all in your mind.
The Lawnmower Man. Stephen King's The Lawnmower
Don't
Man.
Don't say it. We'll get sued.
Will we get sued if we do that? Yeah. Is sitting at a 5.4 out of 10 on IMDb, 38% on Rotten Tomatoes, and a 2.6 out of 5 on Letterboxd. I gotta see what the audience rating on the Rotten Tomatoes score is, though. The problem is it's gonna be modern. It's 31. Okay. Well, it's not far off.
So I'm gonna admit, I had no idea what was fucking going on for the first 45 minutes of this movie.
Cool.
And it's not like it's a, I guess it is a complicated movie, but we
is,
were just,
is it?
The connective tissue between everything, it just felt like a lot. Like we were, there was a science facility, there was Pierce Brosnan having troubles with his wife, smoking in bed, there was a lawnmower man who had no relation to anyone, and then there was also a very religious subplot. So I was like, how do these people relate? It just turns out that the lawnmower man mows the lawn near the scientist, and the scientist is like, light bulb moment. I have a new test subject.
Would it surprise you to learn that, one, this movie had like a 2.5 hour director's cut, and also that it was a fucking blockbuster hit?
This movie made money?
This movie made like $150 million worldwide. It debuted number 2 at the box office, I think.
Wow.
People were like, we gotta see this, because you have to remember that no one had a computer. Everybody was like, oh.
So they wanted to go to the theater to see one on screen? Like, what are you getting at?
What I'm getting at is this is a technology that was, like, on the horizon.
I get it. It's super novel. Like, we're just getting VR now, and it's, like, 800 years later. I get it.
He becomes a VR Jesus. Right? Like, that's the thing. Is he the VR Antichrist? Is he the VR Devil? Or is he our VR Savior, Kim? Like, we are at the pinnacle, the dawn of a new age. In this movie.
I don't know if VR is the gateway, but sure.
Well, this is before VR. This is before the internet. This is just before, like, the popularized home-based computer. Like, yes, Microsoft and Apple have existed for a while.
I know, they were still rewinding their VHS tapes at slow speed. I get it.
Yeah, you had to flip an album halfway between to listen to the other side.
The compact discs were bigger than a cake.
This movie came out on Laserdisc, yeah. CDs were still new. You could still buy records, and it wasn't like...
You can still buy records today, John.
There was a weird period where records didn't exist. Frankly, it's weird they exist now, especially for how green we all are. Like, yeah, let's bring back that thing that's just, like, probably bad for
it's
the environment.
Because we're all realizing we don't own anything, and everybody wants tangible goods now. We're all like, I just want to own something.
And in an age of tangible goods like 1992...
In an era of tangible goods.
People were terrified about the digital world that was coming, and we're living in it now. But back then, they were like, it's going to be bad. It's going to look great. Like, look at these special effects. You can't even tell the difference between this and reality.
It was really weird watching this movie the day after we went to the arcade, and there were all these VR games.
Oh.
Because there's nothing VR in my entire life. Like, I'm not... I don't have Google goggles or whatever
that,
they're called.
Those
or
Apple, existed in a long time.
Apple Vision Quest.
That's close.
I don't, that's not on my radar, but we just so happened to be at the arcade and I was like, oh, they're releasing these things. This is a hot ticket item right now.
Yeah, you can fight Kong on Skull Island in VR now. It's pretty
great. It's probably like 16 tokens though.
Yeah, guaranteed. Yeah.
I didn't even look because I had no interest.
My favorite part is that when we walked by that machine, there was a dude playing that game and his girlfriend was sitting in the chair beside him, not engaging in the game whatsoever. She was like, that's good for you, honey. Like, he's got the goggles on, he's looking around, he's like, oh, you gotta see this. And she's like, yeah, I gotta.
It was Valentine's Day.
It was
also.
Valentine's Day.
That makes that story infinitely better.
Yeah, so 1992, these are the special effects we're dealing with. And it was just a technology people didn't understand. They didn't know it was coming. And like the year before, we had Terminator 2. It was just like, oh, the fucking Cybernet's coming for us.
I get it. This is the era where, like, yeah, technology's new and scary. I get it.
Yeah, but it was also so promising. It could do anything. And surely the new savior would be born on the digital platform. This movie is also sort of taking the premise that VR can download information into your mind the way you could in the Matrix. Because
they're playing fast and loose with what VR is, because they're playing it like it's a game, but it's also the Matrix. Like, it's also its own universe that you plug into.
Well, yeah, unfortunately, I don't think anybody ever actually says this in the movie, but it's the real world and the world in the game. You can't differentiate between the two. Now, the special effects are so bad that you clearly can tell a difference, but I think the characters in the movie, we're supposed to believe that they're stepping into a world, like a reality that their brain thinks is real.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of an interesting premise if you get over the fact that yeah, it's really clunky rendering that...
Really kooky rendering.
We're really kooky rendering that we're entering like another plane of existence.
Yeah.
And that's a fun concept to think that, you know, when people are turning on their VR glasses, they're all connecting to the same world. Like, it is a matrix. Like, VR is another plane of existence.
Well, what... this kind of goes back to our conversation with Pulse. Like, when you talk about the ghosts coming through like the telephone lines and the internet and then be going on into reality. But like, how else would you try and describe the internet to somebody who doesn't have a computer?
The internet or VR?
The internet. Like, I mean, like, you gotta...
It's the encyclopedia with others.
But isn't...
And porn.
The more you would describe it and what you can do with it, and, you know, in 1992, like, the promise of it and what it could potentially do, there's no way that it doesn't sound like another plane of existence, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a physical, maybe physical's the right word, but it's a psychological dimension.
I mean, if people were logging in to visit their virtual wives and feed their virtual dog and pat their virtual kid on the head while he's doing his homework... then sure. But they're just playing like Sonic the Hedgehog going through tunnels.
Yeah, no, the special effects in this are like nothing close to Star Fox.
I was going to say, if any of you grew up watching YTV, and I know some of you have, you're going to like this shout out. This was very reboot of them.
Yes. This is...
Having like caught clips of it on YouTube now as an adult, it is so unwatchably bad. Oh, John.
What are you talking about?
You can't even understand what you're looking at.
Hexadecimal, like one of the best villains of our entire childhood. You can't take that away from me. There was a whole X-Files spoof episode where like an 8-bit Mulder and Scully came into the game. Man, I fucking loved Reboot. Anyway, the ideas that they're playing with in Lawnmower Man are great. And I don't have rose-colored glasses when I watch it. I'm not like, ooh, they tried so hard and they almost did it. Like, I think it is grade F kooky, okay? I don't think it works. I think it's outlandish and silly. And I don't know if it necessarily accomplishes what it's trying to do.
It's doing a lot.
But its ideas are fun and interesting. Like, yeah. I think when would it have been better in 1992, or is it fun to look back as a timepiece of 1992? I don't know which is better, because I didn't see it as an adult in 92.
Yeah, that's true. It's hard to gauge like where you're at there.
Mm-hmm.
But I was playing computer games, or watching my dad play computer games.
That looked better than this.
No, they looked about this quality.
Yeah.
So... And I mean, that was like back when like our very first computer was a TV set and like you plugged in a keyboard to it and it was on like a rolling cart. Like, this was computers.
Yeah, that's pretty great. So like, you guys would play that after drawing, you know, paintings on the cave walls. That's how long ago it was.
Yep.
We'd all gather around the fire and plug our keyboard into it.
But like, I had no idea what I was going into.
Yeah.
I really wanted to go into this movie blind because it had been a movie I had never seen.
Yeah. You've seen trailers for it though.
No.
Okay.
No.
So in your mind, was there anything that you were building? You're like, oh, he's a lawnmower man who gets cursed and starts killing people.
Yeah, I was expecting much more lawnmower and much more man.
There's plenty of lawnmower.
I mean, there's plenty of man in this, but there's not enough.
Going back to good thing number one.
There's not enough lawnmower.
Okay. So the central premise of the movie, which I don't think we've talked about too much, is that Pierce Brosnan is working on this hyper new technology. They kill his monkey, his research chimp. Which apparently in the director's cut, he escapes. And Jeff Fahey.
He's got an arc.
he has an actual arc. And Jeff Fahey sees the chimp get killed by, like, the members of the shop, which apparently is who's funding the government research facility.
Isn't the Firestarter people called
the
shop?
Yeah.
So this is a Stephen King
product.
That's what
I'm saying. Like, they tried to make some ties and some connections to Stephen King. Like, we're lucky that nobody said Castle Rock in the movie somewhere. Obviously, the military just wants to use this to create, like,
oh, yeah, they're like, how can we make
machine.
A weapon out of this?
Yeah, but Pierce Brosnan is essentially trying to awaken... he's trying to awaken the other 90% of our brain that we don't
untapped human potential.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, the chimp had shown such improvement and cognitive improvement that...
But it had rage-a-hall.
So, like, and that's not his fault. That's because that's what the military wanted him to program into. Anyway, the point is, he'd been working toward getting
a human
subject.
See, this is the beginning of the movie, though. This is the first 40 minutes. Like,
this is the first 5 minutes.
I don't even think we see the lawnmower man until a half hour in, and you're just like, is he going to be an important part of this movie?
How is this going to be the cornerstone of the rest of this story? He's an adult man with a learning disability. It's very stereotypical early 90s as far as, like, how the performance goes. But Pierce Brosnan's like, there's room for improvement here. I'm going to make him a genius.
Yeah, he thinks he's doing a good thing, but what we're all watching is this man with a childlike brain be exploited.
100%. And even Pierce Brosnan's like, now there's people who out there who are going to want to exploit you, and I want to protect you from that.
It's such an uncomfortable conversation.
It's like when the mob's like, you know, they always send a friend to kill you. They come with open arms. They don't come with knives in their hands.
Oh, boy.
Just like Pierce Brosnan. But the more that he plugs him into the game, and the more that he's playing, and the more vitamins that he gives him, like, he's essentially giving him, like, a cocktail.
He's hopping him up on, like, brain drugs and then plugging him into... Sonic the Hedgehog.
And we're seeing him, like, download all of this information. Like, it's just being sent to him in, like, flashes of, like, math equations and shit.
It's being sent to him in early 90s screensavers.
Yeah, and that's why we're the smartest generation, because we grew up watching those screensavers. They really did a number on
like,
us.
When will it finally go into the corner proper?
Oh, yeah. Or the tubes that would, like, go off into other areas. And this is the chunk of the movie that I think... I kind of like, I kind of rock with this section, because let's take the weird computer junk out of it and just replace it with peyote.
Well,
and I'm like, this guy's on a vision quest. This guy's just, like, opening doors to his, this is like Carlos Castaneda, like the teachings of Don Juan bullshit.
We're finally on a cart here. Like, we're finally on a track.
We're moving towards something.
We're seeing him get smarter. He's brushing his hair more.
Yeah.
He's getting the girl. He's getting revenge on the gas station guy who was mean to him. Like,
Everybody's mean to him. We are
on a plot track. Before, uh-huh. It was like Pierce Brosnan's wife is leaving him and we're never going to revisit it again, which apparently is also in the extended
cut. Oh, you read that too? she comes back, but she's being controlled by Jeff Fahey. Because, like, the stronger he gets and the smarter he gets, the more ability he has, and he can start controlling things with his mind.
But in the version we watch, in the original version, she just leaves and never comes back again.
You said you were going to take me to the city today.
He basically adopts a new family.
Yeah, pretty much. Jeff Fahey becomes unstoppable.
What else is Jeff Fahey in? Because I feel like I should recognize him.
Jeff Fahey's in a ton of shit, and he's in a movie I keep wanting to talk about on the podcast that you won't let me, because it's a Christian horror movie called Revelation, about, it's kind of like the Left Behind series. We're like, oh, the rapture has happened, and now we're stuck on Earth with all us sinners, and there's a VR chunk in Revelation. We could have done it with the lawnmower man, and it's like Satan is plugging people into this VR system, and you have to, like, either take the mark of the beast or be executed in the VR reality, but if you die in the VR reality, you die in real life. It's very Matrix-y.
I mean, this sounds watchable, but...
Yeah. Oh, right! He's the cook in Planet Terror, who's making all the barbecue. JT's barbecue! That's Jeff Fahey.
And he's never gonna give you the recipe.
Never. IMDb here tells me that he's also in Psycho 3, which we gotta check out for sure. Oh, yeah, and he's in Silverado, man. Yeah, I know you're not nuts about Western movies, but... It's pretty good in Silverado.
I watched a couple last week.
You watched a Bollywood Western movie. It's not the same.
Oh, the fucking fashions were so good, though.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, Lawnmower Man. Jeff Fahey becomes a god. That's basically what it comes down to. Like, he is...
It's not that fast, though. We have to watch a lot of screensavers to get there.
Yeah.
There was one point, we were about, you know, 4 hours into the movie. We'd just been sitting...
Kim had grown a gray beard at this point.
We'd just been sitting in silence and, like, in our dark living room, like, digesting this movie as it was occurring.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where, like, FBI agents are come to the house in a van, and they're coming to, like, stop
yeah,
him.
Yeah, they're coming to get Jeff
Fahey. And then they come, they're out on his lawn, and then Jeff Fahey, Job, who is the lawnmower man, his face appears digitally in the sky,
yep.
Like a big yellow sun, uh-huh. And he looks at them, and then they disintegrate into balls, and the balls spin around and twirl.
Uh-huh.
And I was just thinking, if I made somebody watch this with zero context, like if I just showed them this clip, and then I made a multiple choice, like what type of movie is this? Choices are A, screensaver,
okay.
B, horror movie, C, religious cult product.
Oh.
Which one would you guess?
Absolutely, they're picking religious cult
Absolutely.
Product.
Absolutely,
like, C. This is propaganda for something, yeah.
It was just absurd. Like, I had an existential watch of that scene where yeah. I was just like, no context.
So similar to that and the 8-bit full body burn, the ABFBB, do you think that's just a limitation of the special effects they had available to them at the time? Or... is this like a weird blending of realities?
See, this is what I don't agree with. I do not agree with him getting these weird powers in the real world, visually, digitally. I'm okay with the telekinesis. I'm okay with him moving glassware around,
yeah.
Mowing the lawn without his hands. I'm fine with that. But it's when he starts appearing like a sun god and like doing these visual things, like disintegrating people into balls.
Yes.
And yeah, full body burning his father? Question mark?
Yeah, I don't think it's his biological father.
The priest who abuses him.
Yes.
I just don't understand how he's blending the planes, but then the whole finale is that he's going to upload himself into that world and he's going to control it from the inside and he's going to be all over the world and infiltrate. And you're just like, well, how are you digitaling all over the place already?
Yeah. So it has some complicated problems.
Now, mind you, I'm looking at this with having 20 years of you know, living and
you think this would have made more sense in 92?
I just think that they don't know what computers are.
That's what I mean, right? Like, I think that's part of it. And I think that's, it's either that they chose to make the special effects 8-bitty because they knew they weren't going to be able to make the game reality any better than that, and they were just trying to at least let's match the graphics. Or
I think it's also a point of reference too, though, because that was people's first introduction to computer systems was
Lawnmower Man. That's everybody.
Atari and NES, right?
Oh,
like
sure,
those
yeah.
are around this period.
I think it's a stylistic choice to show that he is like he definitely has more power inside the digital realm. Like inside the digital realm, he is a god, and his consciousness has expanded so much and his cognitive ability has improved to such a degree that he's able to take some of that power and use it on our plane. So I think when people
turn... So he's a witch.
Kinda. I think when people turn into like 8-bit fire or turn into 8-bit pieces of material and balls and stuff, I think that's happening. It looks exactly the same in the real world. Like, I think they are becoming 8-bit digital death. Which sounds very complicated
You're
to explain.
You're losing me even more now.
Yeah. The point is, he is becoming a god. And it, like, he's becoming a god in a different realm, and his powers are so strong that it's influencing the three-dimensional plane that we live on here. And he's already sort of prophesized that he's going to become, like, the digital savior. And that very key thing he says is that, you know, the sign of my second coming will be marked by all of the telephones in the world ringing simultaneously. Because he has to die and then be reborn. Like, he essentially has to, his physical body has to die, and he has to become fully digital god at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kim's not on board with this. Now, I'm not saying I'm here evangelizing for him, but hark now here, the telephones ring. Come on!
Yeah, no, he does the thing. The finale...
He does the thing! This is exactly how the disciples describe Jesus Christ. Yeah, he did the thing.
For how I feel they're playing fast and loose with the rules of what a digital world versus a real world are and can be...
Yes.
The finale really hinges on you understanding the internet, because he constantly, so Pierce Brosnan's hacked in and he's locked down their internet.
So much hacking the mainframe.
So their internet is now really an intranet. So they are locked in on the government facility.
He can't get out.
So like he's got no connections to the internet.
He has basically uploaded himself at this point. Like his real body is a husk. Like he is just a shell of a human being. He looks like something that died in the Dark Crystal universe.
So we're watching Digital Job trying to access access points, but he's getting access denied. And that hinges on you understanding the internet and how it works, because even I was like, what's going on here?
He can't export himself, basically, which is fun, too, because in that whole sequence, he crucifies Pierce Brosnan. Pierce Brosnan decides, like, you know what I need to do? I need to go confront this god. Yeah, this unstoppable
where
man.
Where he's got infinite power
yeah.
and no physical limitations.
I'm going to go make myself... I'm going to set timers on bombs all around me.
Four minutes should be good.
Yeah, 4 minutes? And then I'm going to put myself in this computer, let myself become his plaything. Maybe he'll let me go so I can blow him up.
I should let him monologue.
Yeah. There's so much god imagery in the movie, and like it's a little misguided, but I see what they're trying to do with it. You know, like he is essentially becoming the new god, and like it's indiscernible, but you know whether or not he's the Antichrist or like a savior. Like, is he actually going to be good, or is he going to be bad, or is it that there is?
I mean, that's a fun theory in itself.
Is he the Nietzsche thing, where he's like beyond good and evil at this point?
Yeah, like I'd love to play in that space. Like, that's something we could talk about. But this,
my favorite death of the entire movie is when he kills the gas station guy, because he shows up with a lawnmower. He brings a lawnmower. Like, the
just
lawnmower,
for the silhouette.
Yeah, it's...
Like, just
yes,
for...
Just, yeah.
Like, if he was an action figure, he comes with it.
Yes, and, like, he rolls up with... Like, he's backlit. He's got smoke coming from the lawnmower. And he's like, hey, it's me. I'm a bad guy now. And the gas
station... I'm exacting revenge on the 4 people who wronged me.
He ties this guy up with his telekinetic powers. He uses the gas pump hoses to tie him up to his own gas station. And you think, because he's killed his dad at this point with the 8-bit fire, that like maybe we're getting more 8-bit fire, maybe some real fire this time. It is a gas station. That would be a fun way to spend our budget. But instead, he gets like real close to the guy and he stares intently into his eyes. And then we zoom into the guy's eyeballs and we see his 8-bit brain. And then we see Job's giant 8-bit head, but his mouth has been turned into the blades of the
lawnmower.
Is that
what it was?
Oh, yeah. And then he's just chewing up the gas station attendant's brain.
That was honestly the most insane 30 seconds of cinema I have ever seen.
And Kim has been watching a lot of Bollywood.
I was just flabbergasted. I think it was just like sensory overload. Like, I couldn't process what I was seeing and what was happening. And he essentially ate the thoughts in his head. He ate his brain.
He hollowed him out.
But left him alive.
Yeah.
So, like, evil. Fucking great. But also, just, like, visually, it was an assault.
It made no sense.
It was just a big head with square, fuzzy mouth just chomping on a brain? Like, it... It was.
Yeah. It's really interesting that they use digital technology to sort of show what he's doing to people psychically. And I don't think they fully explain why they're doing it, but it's a choice.
Well,
it makes it extra kooky.
It's interesting that, you know, we haven't touched on, he gets a girlfriend in this process and he invites her to the secret government facility and plugs her in so that they can hang out in the virtual world.
Oh, yeah.
And they like intertwine and absorb each other and they become a dragonfly and then he eats her. He essentially lobotomizes her.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he completely destroys her brain. It's full sensory overload. And we don't see the extent of all of it, because at first it's wonderful, right?
Like, I feel like he ate her.
I think he ate her entire brain. Like, he ate her consciousness.
He ate her soul.
He pretty much turns into a demon and then comes at her, and then we don't see the rest of what happens. But, like, when he unplugs himself and he tries to rescue her, he's so apologetic. Like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I couldn't stop myself. It's like, fuck, man, what did you do to her in there? She's dead. Like, she's a vegetable. Complete brain death at this point, I think.
She's just like a giggling mess. Like, we don't see much of her. We see her on a bed giggling, but then a cop later is just like, oh yeah, we just found her wandering the streets. And you're just like, fuck.
Yeah, he fucks her up completely. By the end of the movie, we think we saved the day. We blow up the lab, but it was like right as Job was finding like an exit to get out. And like, maybe he got out, maybe he didn't get out in time until all of the phones in the world start ringing at the same time.
Surprise, surprise.
He's everywhere. He's our digital god. This is kind of like what everybody's worried about is going to happen with AI. Like, the fear in this movie a little bit is tapping into like the fear everybody had last year about AI, and like is still kind of like lingering around today. Like, before we like understand the technology and what it can do, we're just consumed with the worst case scenarios of all of it.
I'm just scared of it disrupting the labor market, but sure.
Yeah, well, obviously, there's that. I could not help but think of Deadly Friend the entire time we were watching this movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's basically the exact same plot. I mean, there are a lot of horror movies, especially in the last 10 years, that kind of have the exact same plot where somebody, usually somebody bullied, has some sort of like new ability gifted to them, and then people try and teach them how to use it, and then the third act they go around and they kill four or five bullies before they're stopped inevitably by like,
oh, this is like that found footage father. Superhero movie.
Yeah,
with Dane DeHaan.
Yeah. Yep. And it's also like Brightburn. It's like so many movies.
That the interesting thing about this one, though, and something that I wish kind of the movie touched on more, is that Pierce Brosnan selected the person. And he selected a more simple-minded person so that you could see the benefits of the wildly unethical study he's performing in his basement.
Yeah. His hope was to make this guy's life better.
But the point is that, like, most movies, it's like, it's the special person. It's the special one. It's the chosen one.
Yeah.
Job could have been anybody. I feel as if this final entity that he becomes, this godlike being, you could cut and paste anybody into that situation. Like, I don't know if it's, you know, the perfect cocktail, like he picked the right person or the wrong person to give these abilities to, that he would run and take it this far.
I don't know.
I just feel like inevitably whoever is the first.
Yeah. I mean, maybe in the director's cut they talk about that a little bit more, because I did read that Jeff Fahey is Job, his character, sort of like tries to help the chimpanzee because it escapes originally.
Yeah, because there is nothing special about him.
Well, here's what you got to remember, Kim. Jesus Christ was just a simple carpenter. And what is our new digital savior but a simple lawnmower man? Like, come on.
And he is like abused and like...
Yeah, there's so much abuse in this movie. And Pierce Brosnan, it's like there's nothing he can necessarily do about it. He sure doesn't try. Like, even his neighbor is like this shithead, I guess, construction worker who just like abuses his wife and his son. His son is friends with Job, the lawnmower man. So that's how they kind of end up hanging out. Like, he shows the neighbor kid, you know, video games. And I guess he definitely picks Job before he sees that Job is good at the video games. Like, he just decides, like, you're going to be my new boy. You know, we didn't talk. This is the last thing I want to go out on. And frankly, this should have been one of the good things. We do get a full-ass lawnmower death in the movie. We get
finally,
one.
I was like, I was so upset up until that point because I was promised
Yeah, you want somebody to be killed with a lawnmower?
Yes.
In the beginning, we show that he's restoring like an old classic lawnmower with the blades. I don't know what you could call them. They're like, it's like a barber pole that's been turned into a lawnmower, but like a push lawnmower. And he's motorized it. For some reason, it's got dual exhaust. But that lawnmower, he's using it with his telekinetic abilities to just terrorize and murder this abusive dude living next door who's just, you know, smacking his wife and his kids around.
This brings me to the point that I wanted to make, the final thing I wanted to say about this movie. And it's so inconsequential to the plot, but it's very important that I need to mention it here.
So important, Kim doesn't want to talk about a guy getting his fucking head chewed up by a lawnmower. But I know exactly what you're going to say, and it's great.
The mom, who has three scenes because she's the neighbor boy's mom, who is a ride in the finale, literally just a ride, has convenient narcolepsy.
Well, the first time Jeff Joe puts her and her son to sleep, so they're not awake.
Okay, but the second time.
The second time, she is just the getaway driver who falls asleep in the fucking car.
And lets her son run into a building that's about to explode.
Yeah.
Because she just has a
little nap, you know. Goddamn. What a weird character. Like, what are we going to do with her? We forgot to write pages for this character. Like, I don't know, let's have her fall asleep. Man, this movie is nuts. It doesn't make any goddamn sense. It's kooky. It's hard to say whether it's bad. It made so much money at the time. People thought it was great, and it has a cult following. This movie has been re-released on 4K.
It's so long, though.
And I really feel like it's just a test run, because Brett Leonard, the director, made a truly amazing movie that I have shown Kim, and she did not love it as much as I did, so I don't think we're ever going to end up talking about it on the podcast.
What was
but
it?
You guys, if you like dumb digital stuff from the 90s, you have to watch Virtuosity with Denzel fucking Washington.
Oh my God, of course he made that movie.
Motherfucking Crowe.
It's the same movie.
Yeah, Russell Crowe is like an AI bot that they're using to train cops. He has all of the mental profiles of every serial killer ever made. It's the most Russell Crowe movie, right? It's like a computer program that comes into the real world and is just like an unstoppable killing machine, and the only man that can stop him is a one-armed Denzel Washington. And like, it sounds kooky. It sounds kookier than The Lawnmower
it's
Man.
It's fucking bonkers.
It's so good, guys. It's a 10 out of 10. And Kim's never going to agree with me. There's a scene in that movie where Russell Crowe samples the screams of human beings to make a new DJ mix.
I mean, that's banging, but
yeah, he creates a television program called Death TV where he executes people live on TV just to get the ratings up.
Stop selling it.
It's my one chance. I'm never gonna be able to talk about it on the show, but Lawnmower Man, truly kooky. So kooky.
I can't believe it was
a part of it.
I cannot believe it was made by the same person. It's like so many buttons are clicking in my head.
It all makes sense now. It's all fitting into place.
It makes so much sense. I'm enlightened. Yeah, I don't even know how to rate this.
I'm stuck now because I'm just like, I always want to rate it based on the vision, you know, like the ideas, some of the what they were trying to accomplish. They had their hearts in the right place. It's truly insane, which feels more in spirit with the 90s than most movies made in the 90s.
Yeah, but did you have fun?
No.
See, that's where it can be all of those things, but if it's not fun, it loses me.
It's got some good laughs.
Like, it feels icky, and then it feels ickier, and there's other moments that feel icky. There's some weird CGI, but then it's icky again.
I'm going to give it a 1.5 with a 0.5 Jeff Fahey bump.
Like, I'm going to give
really
it a 1.5 no bump.
1.5 no bump. Shut up, we're done. Anyway, that's what we thought of The Lawnmower Man. Easily one of the kookiest Stephen King movies ever made.
Easily one of the kookiest blank blank films ever made.
And we want to hear what you thought about it. If this is a first time watch for you, or you've been a lifelong fan, I can't even say that with a straight face. If you love The Lawnmower Man, we want to hear from you. Hit us up in the Nightmare on Film Street Discord at nofspodcast.com/discord. You're more likely to get a reply there from us than on social media.
I really hope that they released like a video game tie-in.
They did. There's two video games.
Was it a floppy disk?
Probably.
Oh my god.
If you have a ripped copy of that that you can send us, hit us up at mail@nofspodcast.com so Kim can play it this weekend.
I'm going to see if I can find an emulator of it so I can play. Take over the world.
We'll be back again next Thursday kicking off a new double feature on the show. But in the meantime, there's hours of bonus content waiting for you over in the Fiend Club. In exchange for supporting the show, you get access to our Nightmare on Elm Street franchise rewatch, our Friday the 13th franchise rewatch, and also our Universal Classic Monsters. You know, anytime that there's a new movie that comes out that we're nuts about, we always record that while it's still in the theater. We call them Drive Home from the Drive-In Reviews. If you want to hear what some of our thoughts were on some of the biggest movies that came out in 2023... and all the other years that we've been doing this podcast, head over to nofspodcast.com/fiendclub to kick us a few bucks and to keep you occupied until next week.
Until next time, I'm Kim.
I'm John.
Stay creepy.
It appears you made it out alive, but we'll get you next time. Help us to grow the horde. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you subscribe. More terror can be found lurking on our website, nofspodcast.com. Until next time, stay creepy, fiends.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.